086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, or feel free to give us a call, 0749 125,000. A caller says, remember Hamas? Still have over 100 innocent Israelis kidnapped, and they are refusing to hand them over. Hi, Greg, you did a piece on Shane and Jack Porter in darts last week. Two fantastic young players. I was wondering if you could mention that there's now a darts academy in Boncrana Youth Club called Inishon Community Darts for 8 to 18-year-olds every Tuesday and Wednesday night. Kind regards, David King, Chair of Inishon Community Darts and Donegal Youth Manager. And David, I saw some pictures of what you have done up there in Boncrana, in the Inishon Community Centre, or the Inishon Community Darts, sorry, in Boncrana. And actually, I have to say, amazing stuff. It looks the real deal. It's got the LED lights and all that jazz. Right, Ryan McMullen's a singer-songwriter. We always love having him on the show. And he's back, Ryan. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good.
Sorry. Have you lost something in your guitar?
And I've actually just looked at it and thought, wow, you know, I haven't played this in a while, whenever it looks like this. But
it looks fun. Hey, look at Rory Gallagher's guitar. It looked like it was knocked around the street and it was worth close on the millions. So
anyway,
how's life going for you? How's things? It's a couple of years or a year since we spoke to you last. How are things going?
Things are great. It's kind of... It just feels like I've went from 0 to 100 in about 4 minutes. It just seems like, back to work. About to release an album in just over a week and a half, and it's just incredibly exciting.
Yeah, talk to us about the album, Redesign. It's called, I read it first, I saw it, Red E-Sign. Do you know when words don't make sense in your head? But it's called Redesign. It's out the 1st of November.
Mm-hmm.
It's every musician's dream, I'm sure, to get that album out there. And you're happy with it, are you?
Yeah, it's funny because it's called Redesign, and it's almost satire at this point because it's been redesigned four or five times. It was supposed to be released in the end of 2019, and then we pushed it to 2020, and then obviously COVID hit, and then the set list of it sort of changed. The songs, kind of some of them changed, so we were going to release it in 2021. Same thing happened again. COVID came back down, so we thought we'll release it in 2022. And then in that time, more songs came. And then I was going to release it in 2022, and I decided, actually, I'm just not quite there in my head.
So do you think everything happens for a reason in that now this is the finished article?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And like, what's kind of strange is because this the current set of the album, I didn't touch it in 2022. I kind of just needed to figure out me. So when it came to deciding to come back, because I have another album written, and I had to have that conversation of, did I just scrap this one? Did I just let it go?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of something that I thought that it was going to be that way. So I sort of said, no, look, I'll give it a listen. And I listened to it and I thought, this actually resonated more with me now than it ever did. And so I did that sort of that whole week. I listened to it every day for a week and thought, no, this has to come out, because it's weird that, in retrospect, it makes way more sense now than it ever did. So it was strange, but now I'm just glad that I'm going to put it out. And it's just strange.
And you have so many gigs coming up as well. I'll get to the pub crawl gigs. I love the whole idea of it, not least because it's a pub crawl. But anyway, but the intimate album shows that you're doing, Workman's Club Dublin sold out, Empire Music Hall Belfast sold out, SWG3 Poetry Club Glasgow sold out, The Waiting Room London sold out. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we talk about intimate album shows, there's still quite a lot of tickets to sell. Yeah. You must be chuffed with that, because it's over such a broad geographical spread.
Well, and it was kind of like, does anybody care anymore in regards to this album? You know, has it been so long? Because, you know, you're set. Like, I was kind of...
You question your relevance and stuff,
and also,
don't you?
You kind of question your... As someone who has invested in it, you're kind of going, we've invested in this for 5 years. If he pulls this one, is there really any point kind of at this point? So there was just that wee bit of pressure and just a wee bit of sort of skepticism. I was kind of a bit worried that people wouldn't care.
Mm.
And, you know, Belfast sold out in like 3 minutes. Dublin sold out in a couple of hours. Like, the whole thing sold out within before like lunchtime. And it was like, okay, people still
got
care.
It. People still care. Still got it. Right, so that's that. So, but there's the mixture then of the gigs then, because, I mean, they're not small gigs either, right? But you're from the 21st of October, that's past. Was that last night?
That's today.
Yeah. So you're in Simpsons Bar tonight, Tulnery. Then the 22nd, you're in Dolan's in Limerick. 23rd, you're Mike the Pies in Kerry. 25th, Lewis Corner, Cork. Then to Mayo, Matt Malloy's. Then to Dundalk Spirit Store. So what's the function of these consecutive gigs like this?
So I sort of grew up singing in the pubs, and my favourite sort of times was whenever, I mean, these shows won't be this, but if we can kind of capture that moment earlier than normal, but like the lock-ins of a pub where...
I know what you're on about,
you
that
know
vibe.
What I mean?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Everybody's sitting listening, everybody has a story to tell, and that was kind of, that's sort of what it means. That's just what music was to me and is to me at its sort of foundation. So I wanted to play these songs kind of how they were written, just with a guitar in a room of people that really invested in the album by buying it and who have been involved and invested in it for so long. And yeah, just kind of tell the stories of it and connect with the people that have invested for so long, because it is one of them things that I'm very grateful for their patience. It has been 5 years in the making.
And then again, next, I just have the list for next April. I'm sure there's a ton to be added to that. Again, a whole host of gigs all over Britain and Ireland again. Yeah. I mean, busy, busy stuff.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. And as I say, I have another album that I'm very proud of that I'm starting to record here in December. And the idea will be, you know, get the shows done and... enjoy the summer, maybe a couple of festivals, but next year, get that album out. And if I don't, whoever is following me, just give up, because if I can't stick to my word at this point, what am I at?
Listen, come here, you're delivering this album now at the start of next November, and, you know, you're incredibly accessible given the amount of gigs that you do and where they're at. But I just think it's amazing, and congratulations to you. Selling out Dublin, Belfast, Glasgow and London like
Cheers.
That is brilliant and something we can all be very proud of. And the pub crawl kicks off in Simpson's Bar, Tulnery, tonight. That's going to be packed.
Yeah, well, I limited the amount of sort of spots for it because, I kind of, you know, a lock-in never really had too many people at it.
Yeah.
So we kind of limited the sort of spaces
for this. Is there still opportunity for people to see you there tonight?
Yeah, they just have to buy a ticket. It's not technically. You have to buy an album, which is your ticket, which is just at RyanMcMillanMusic.com.
Yeah, so if you want to go tonight, you also get the album as well. Ticket and pre-order the album bundles. They're available now at RyanMcMillanMusic.com. Is it nice to have that level of control over your music and your career, Ryan? If you know what I mean, that sort of put this stuff together. You can, you know, you can play the local gigs, you can play the bigger intimate gigs, you can play the big venues. Do you feel in control? Is that a good buzz?
I've never felt more in control. I kind of shook things up over the last couple of years, and I'm actually so grateful for a lot of the decisions that I've made throughout my sort of career to sort of avoid being stuck with people making decisions for me. But at the minute, you know, I'm all nearly fully independent, and I kind of like that because I can't blame anybody for the shortcomings, and you know, and that to me is the buck stops with me, and I kind of like the responsibility of it. So
yeah, but you're a bit tough on yourself. That's the only problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, manage yourself better and give yourself a bit of a break. So just to recap, Ryan McMullen selling out all over the shop, but you can still see him live and local tonight in Tulnery, Carn Donnets at Simpson's Bar, and go on to the website RyanMcMullanMusic.com and click into the pub crawl section there. You pre-order the album, so you'll also have the album straight to your inbox on November 1st, and you get a ticket for tonight's show before he heads off on the pub crawl, and then a series of intimate shows in November, and then God knows what you'll get up to in April. Right, okay, so what are you going to sing for us, Ryan? Not beyond April, sorry, you've already packed out for April. What are you going to do for us?
Do you know what? This song was the first single off the album. I didn't know what I was going to play until just a second ago.
Yeah, I think looked at the guitar and decided.
Yeah, I think it kind of feels fitting that the album's about to come out and this song come out in 2020, maybe?
Hard to keep track at this stage.
So yeah, I kind of feel like may as well start there.
We'll take it away when you're ready.
Something going on inside my mind. I felt it all before, but I feel it's time. And I'm burning up, I'm calling out, I've heard enough. And I have no doubt there's something going on inside my mind. And I need to talk about it. I can't stand it. I'm turning back now. I'm in a panic. It's too dramatic, systematic and problematic. My heart's full of electricity and I can't stand it. I feel ecstatic. Oh no,
But what is going on inside your mind? You seem ready for it all, and I fear you're right. You got me burning up and calling out. I've heard enough, and I have no doubts. What is going on inside your mind? I need to talk about it. I can't stand it. I'm turning back now. I'm in a panic. It's too dramatic, systematic, and problematic. My heart's full of electricity, and I can't stand it. I feel ecstatic. Oh no, I'm falling in love again, and I need to talk about it. Cause no one will hold you like I need you, like I love you, like I need to talk about it. Cause no one will hold you like I need you, like I love you, like I would. Can't stand it, I'm turning back now, I'm in a panic. It's too dramatic, systematic, and problematic. My heart's full of electricity, and I can't stand it. I feel ecstatic, oh no.
Brilliant stuff. Ryan, you've supported, you know, headline acts yourself with the release of this album, the way things are going. You know, 2025, it looks like you're going to be the headliner. Are you ready for it?
I've never been more ready, to be honest. I feel like I finally found, you know, just to sort of even talk about Ed, you know, I love Ed and I loved the tour and the experience was unbelievable. But the truth is I wasn't ready. You know, I'd went from playing to 40 people in New York to 20,000 in Italy within 48 hours. So to have done it was incredible, but you quickly realise that that's not you. That's his bubble. You got to create your own. And I think now more than ever, I'm so sure of what I am, where I'm going, what I want to be, what I want to say, and who I want to say it to. So it is just one of them things. A bit of time off never, it actually added to it all. You
but
know?
As you say, you don't know what the reaction's going to be like when you come back, and it's worked, and whatever you've done, it's working for you, which I think is fantastic, Ryan. You are live tonight again, just to remind people, in Tulnery, Cairn Donagh, before he's doing a ton of work here, and he's going to be huge. He is already, but I'm on about different level stuff. If you want a ticket, you can get the ticket and pre-order your album, ryanmcmullenmusic.com. It's part of his pub crawl. Mini tour. I don't know how you would describe it. It's a pub
crawl. Just a pub. It's, a pub literally crawl. A pub crawl. Yeah,
that's what it is. All right, right. You're only singing one for us, aren't you?
I can sing another if you want.
Can you? Cool. Yeah. Stuff it. I was only told about one, but yeah, what are we going to do?
Well,
and that way means what are you?
Yeah.
Just what we have.
I didn't get tickets for Chris Stapleton last night, but I'm sure people did. So I figured I would sing a Chris Stapleton song.
Oh, brilliant! Great stuff. What a bonus.
Yeah. Used to spend my nights out at the barroom. Liquor was the only love I've known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottle and brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy. Honey, I stayed stoned on your love all the time. I look for love in all the same old places. Find the bottom of the bottle's always dry.
When you poured out your heart, I didn't waste it. 'Cause honey, there ain't nothing like your love can get me high. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy. And honey, I stayed stoned on your love all the time. It's Tennessee whiskey.
Great stuff. Always an extra surprise, Ryan, when you're in. The last time, if my memory serves me correctly, you did a working of Simply the Best.
Yeah,
which was brilliant. And that was fantastic too. Ryan, listen, the very best luck with everything. Continued success. And I'm delighted that things are going the way you want them to go too. And you're in such control of all of that. And the gigs are selling out. Brilliant stuff. If you want to see Ryan tonight, you're going to have to get onto his website, ryanmcmullenmusic.com. It's a pub crawl. It kicks off in Tulnery, in Carndonagh, in Simpson's Bar. And you can get your pre-ordered album and your ticket. It's a bundle available at ryanmcmullenmusic.com. And that is before he goes on to some absolutely huge gigs. Great stuff, Ryan.
Cheers. Thanks
Continued
very much.
Success.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Ryan. He is something else, isn't he? We have another character in studio with us now. It's the head of Swarton.
It's the head character. Of that's I was going to say, Ryan's a brilliant singer. He's excellent.
He's fantastic, isn't he? Yeah. We have another character in studio, Washington Kelly, head of sport at Highland Radio, and he's stepping in for Brendan Devaney on the DL debate tonight.
That's now a big character to fall in for.
It's another character. So, Eamon McGee, Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life, amongst the guests, discussing the Gaelic rule changes. Right, so
the proposed.
But we did see a sample of them at the
weekend? We've seen a big sample of them. There was a lot of football watched Friday and Saturday. Mm. I like it. Certainly the games are a lot more free-flowing.
Yes.
They're a lot higher scoring. So they are. They have the potential to be a lot more entertaining and maybe holding the fans a bit more. Now, there is some tweaks need to be done. Players had their say on it, current players and players that were involved in the game. So they're going to sit down now over the next week or so, I think, and if there is any tweaks, the committee, the Football Review Committee, which is headed up by Jim Gavin, but our own Michael Murphy's on it, they're going to look to see what else they could tweak from the weekend before they bring it to the special Congress, which will be held at the end of November. But
now, you've discussed this extensively already, right? But I'm just interested. So when we talk about core changes.
Core enhancements, the seven core enhancements, yeah. There was, well, basically the 1v1 at the start, I liked it, so did it. The 1v1, I can't see any problems with that. The solo and go, which is the toe tap and go forward quickly. It's another good incentive.
So talk to us how that actually works.
When you're fouled, you can tap the ball and run on.
And away you go, keeps the game flowing.
But there's a punishment, a severe punishment of a 50-metre free for basically if you're holding up the player. Now there was one incident in the Connacht Ulster game where the Connacht player basically challenged the referee Blue. I don't think he gave the Connacht player enough time because the onus is on the defender to either hand the ball back or step away.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was literally done in a split second.
Yeah,
I think the time can be extended. I think it's unfair to defenders who maybe
I think what will happen
do commit the foul.
I think when it's there in long term, what it's the ball will be chucked because that, run back into
it was
a position.
Brought 50 metres up the field, and then there was a score taken from it. So yes, I do agree for the dissent and for holding up play, give the 50 metre free. But I think a wee bit more time has to be allocated to the defending player or who actually committed the foul.
Uh-huh.
Now, if there's intent on it, and you know there's intent on it, well, there's a cynical play on it. Yeah, bring it straight up, surely. But I just think it was a wee bit unfair in the Connacht player at that stage. Yeah. Now they are finding their feet with these rules. The other one, which is great, is 3v3. So there's six players in one half at all times. So it is, and it opens it up for a lot more. We didn't see as many 1v1s as we thought we were going to see because of the 3v3. But what it does do is it opens up the field at the other end. There's a lot more space.
Describe that then for some people that didn't watch the games the weekend. So 3v3. So where are they in the pitch? What are they doing?
They are, so for example, Donegal are attacking, okay, and they are going in. We'll use Armagh. Well, we'll use Ulster and Connacht as the example from the weekend. Okay. So Connacht are attacking and they're going into the Ulster half and they have to score in the Ulster half. Connacht have to leave three defenders in their own half and Ulster have to leave three forwards up in the Connacht half.
The goalie can't be one of those.
The goalie isn't included in the 3v3. Now, this is back to Ulster worked it very well in the first game on Friday night where they had Morgan, the keeper for Tyrone. I've gone blank on his first name.
It's fine.
He was man of the match, but Ulster used him very well. He was going all the time. He was working upfield. He was like the extra man. So obviously Ulster had a bit of homework done on this, and that they utilised, Niall Morgan's his name, they utilised him a lot more than any of the other provinces did in any of the games. So that's a tactic that counties, if this comes in.
So you see 11 attacking, 12 in the opposition half.
You can have 11 defending and now 12 attacking. So you can, if I get my math right. Because your keeper can come up. Okay. Now remember, your keeper can't touch the ball in his own half from a kick out either.
Right.
Unless he's in his large rectangle. Other than that, he can't touch the ball unless he's up in the opposition half. Okay. And Morgan got a score in that first game as well. So they worked that well.
And there is
it is very sore in the players.
Those players can't leave, your three players can't leave your half. So they can swap out, right?
Well, they can swap out. They can swap out. But you have to have three players in the opposition half at any one time. Wherever it is. It's going to be, if this is brought in, it'll be interesting to see how counties are going to deal with this 3v3. How they're going to police it. Well, it's up to the officials. There's a lot more. Like, we're going to get into the nitty gritty of this tonight in the DL debate with Eamon and Michael. The concern I have about these core enhancements is club football. It's okay at under county. You have the TV cameras there. You have all the officials. When you are getting into club football, maybe it's okay in the big occasion where you have your championship and you have enough officials there. But you have games at club level, which at times there's not even linesmen there. So you're expecting a referee in the middle of the field to... He struggles at times to deal with the current rules, but then add in these other rules as well into club football. So how do you police that at that level? That's where it's going to me. It's going to become really, 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 really difficult.
Next enhancement,
The scoring. We've seen it at the week outside the arc. There's this new 40-meter arc. I think that's brilliant, having 2 points for outside the arc. Let the kickers. You give the kickers credit with an extra point for two of the kicks outside the arc.
That's going to benefit the good teams, though. Isn't it?
It's going to benefit the teams that have the good kickers.
So, but you could have a Dublin that could. You know, this is about sort of leveling the playing field. Yeah. And I'm not criticising them, I'm teasing them out, right? But, you know, firstly, it's frustrating to see kicks falling short and going wide. Yeah. But you could have a team with good kickers that a Dublin could really put to bed a game in 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, this is another objection to these enhanced rules. I'll go back to your point. Most counties have really good kickers that can kick from distance. Mm-hmm. Donegal have several. And yes, you reward them for kicking outside this arc and give them 2 points. I would be happy with that. Not so sure about the 4 points for the goal. Should we keep it at three or should they move it on for four? And obviously you get your one and side. So you are going to reward teams that have good kickers.
Yeah.
But the problem with this is if you stick with a scoring system where you've added in two outside the arc and then you get four for a goal. We have seen previously in championships, games getting away from maybe the smaller counties who have... But the thing about it, the games could get away from them even quicker now.
See, the thing is right, you've got a limited number of players now in defending, right?
Yep.
The arc, they're going to be defending the arc, right? Because that's the big impact, which is going to leave them exposed potentially for goals. I just feel a good team, you could find a good team 12 or 13 points up.
Very, very quickly. And the weaker team would have used the old defensive system of having their... 15 players, sometimes inside their own 45,
just to reduce the score. The weaker team then does, it's all right saying, well, we'll try and get you to play a different way. They might not have the talent to actually match a Dublin.
That's possible,
a Dublin
that's going to be reality if these are brought in some way down the line that maybe the weaker counties are going to be a bit exposed to it, and the games are going to get away a lot.
Because then they're going
to be over after. Could be over after 10 minutes.
Well, you see, that's. I mean, you could end up with you could end up with games like, say, you could have some crazy system whereby, and I don't know how they're going to represent it on the scoreboard for crying out loud. All goals would be 4 points. All goals.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So. I can see how that works with all goals. But you could have a scoreline, right, whereby it's theoretically like 217 to 3 points 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I think people will sit at home and go, I ain't watching that nonsense.
Yeah.
And GAA won't be making the 5 million a year.
That's a risk worth it.
To make. Yeah.
But at the same time, as they have to try and bring this forward and make it more attractive. Like, there has been lots of games where all 30 players...
But an attractive game is an open, competitive game.
Yes.
And
from my own opinion, watching it, I love seeing ball kicked. Sort of kick it up the field, have the forwards coming out and taking on the defenders. Yeah. That's what I like to see in football. We did see it at the weekend, but we actually seen a lot more hand passing than we thought there was going to be as well in it.
Uh-huh.
But I do get your concern, and that is a concern, particularly with the weaker counties. But when you look at it, we have seen games that have had all 30 players on the field inside one half.
Yeah, okay? Of course.
That's not gonna happen anymore.
But that's how the weaker teams ground out surprise victories.
And they have to find their feet with it and see which way they go.
What else is there?
The new advanced mark, the attacking mark.
Yeah, like that.
That from makes sense. Has to be outside the 45 under the 20, which makes a lot more sense than the previous one did. The kickouts now must go beyond the 40 meter arc, and again, the keeper's not allowed to get a back pass unless they're inside their own large rectangle. It depends. If the opposition, you've seen at times the opposition didn't push up on the kick out and they were quite happy to let the keeper kick it short just outside the arc, and then the team brings it up. As we said, the back pass, and that's really the nuts and bolts of the seven core enhancements.
I can see where
it's going to go.
Yeah.
We have to wait to see now what the review committee is going to do, what Michael Murphy and his colleagues are going to, they're going to sit down, they're going to look at these, they have the option to tweak these so they have, if they want, I think there will be maybe a couple of tweaks to it and then they'll bring it. There is going to be rules coming in. I have a feeling there is going to be rules coming in. Will they bring the seven? Will they bring three with altered to some of the others and scrap some of them? We have to wait and see.
Is there something
how
to
it
about
is.
Engaging with the ref?
Engaging with the ref as well. There's no like dissent straight away. It's brought up for a 20 metre free, which I agree with.
I mean, I've seen
it's
in
all
the sports
about the
where only the captain can speak to the ref.
That is fantastic in rugby. It's fantastic in rugby.
And they tried that in soccer ball.
Yeah.
They tried that as well. Yeah. And it gets written. Listen, you're not going to change a referee's mind. Let's just get on with it.
You're not, So there's going to be no dissent at all. No back chatting to the referee.
It's bring a
right. Bring it way up the field. You will get punished.
Yeah.
So you will. But my major concern about this, it's okay talking about inter-county football and seeing it with the provinces playing. And let's see it being brought in. There will be rules coming in for the National League. But I just have a concern when it comes to club football, because let's be honest about it, the referees in Donegal are struggling. The referees committee are struggling to get referees to fill games. We don't have enough of them. And now you're putting this added pressure on them of bringing in these new rules and how they police it, how they communicate it to the players, how they communicate it to the line. Like, we heard it all in the microphone with the referees at the weekend. But if you have games where you're struggling to get a linesman, so how are you going to officiate here?
Sometimes I think sometimes you can see more the more you're removed from something, right? So, you know, the likes of you and Michael Murphy and Eamon McGee, and you know, you're in there. I just see a scenario whereby games are over very quickly, and that the big teams, that these are almost be designed to the teams that can move the ball around quickly, that can shoot from distance, that can mix up mid-game, you know. And I just think that we'll be sitting here, if this is adopted early on in the championship with this embarrassing scoreline, that you know the weaker team can't reverse, and then we'll all be back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
But how many times
is that going to factor into play? Because they've restructured the championship with the second tier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you don't have as many of the weaker counties taken on. Yes, you will have some of the weaker counties playing in the Sam Maguire competition. The league is the league. The league is tiered as to where you can, where you can
play. Stay in it.
It will happen, Greg, but I don't think it's going to happen as often as people as people might think.
Okay.
And one other thing coming out of the weekend is, and we had it this morning, the Cavan's going to bring it up this weekend, that we need the pre-season competitions. They were scrapped.
Yeah.
The McKenna Cup, like, they expect teams to go into a national league, having not really, there will be challenge games for them, but I think they need to bring back the McKenna Cup so teams have a good opportunity to go with these rules.
Yeah.
And to try and get familiarise themselves with them before the serious competition starts. Because there is consequences of the league, particularly for some counties,
and
depending on where you finish in your league. It has an impact on your championship and different things like that. So I think it would be fair that the pre-season competitions come back in for the counties so they can familiarise themselves a lot more with whatever enhancements, we'll call it, rule changes
are going
to
be. So what is the process next, just finally then, Oisín? So they were trialled at the weekend. There's going to be some discussion, review them. Then what happens next?
Whatever tweaks they're going to do to the seven core enhancements, if they are going to make any tweaks, it then goes to a special Congress at the end of November, and that's when the decision will be made that these rules will be in play for 2025.
Right. Okay, right. So we're on the brink.
Now, there will be rules brought in, I've no doubt about it, but we have to see how many of them are actually going to be brought in. Some of them are fantastic. Listen, they all have their good points and their benefits, and then some of them have their drawbacks as well. But
the problem is, with challenge games like at the weekend, where in fairness the guys are out there having a bit of crack. Yeah. It's a training game, right? Yeah.
Now, this is a lot harder on players. You have to remember this too. And Niall Morgan even said it himself in one of the interviews that it's a lot more taxing
on the body.
But my
point is my point
because you're doing a lot more running.
I get you. Yeah. But my point is, in those trial games, you see the positives. I'm not sure in that type of a game where there's, you know, lads kicking ball and having fun in Croke Park that you necessarily see the negatives. So Cole says goalkeepers should have to kick the ball 40 metres up the field. Anywhere you find a player, you should be able to pass.
Say that again.
Goalkeepers should have to kick the ball 40 metres up the field. Anywhere you find a player, you should be able to pass. Not sure about the second part of that, but anyway. Okay, listen, brilliant stuff, Oisín. So, tonight, from 7 p.m, Highland Radio's DL Debate, hosted this week by Oisín Kelly, our head of sport. The guests include Eamon McGee, Michael McMullen, and so much more besides. So
it's mainly going to be around the rules. Michael, obviously Eamon's coming in to join us in the studio. He would have been glued to the TV over the weekend watching these rules, and I'm sure it's ticking over in his head how this is going to impact inter-county, but also club.
Clubs are the key thing.
And the club thing's just not sitting 100% with me, so Eamon's going to go through it. And Michael, likewise, was watching this all weekend. He's a very intelligent guy when it comes to Gaelic football, Michael McMullen, and we'll be talking about the Tyrone final, which has now moved to Friday night because of the storm yesterday. It was postponed. And we'll also be talking the Derry final, which is taking place on Sunday, the championship finals.
Loads of stuff there. Brilliant. 7 p.m. tonight, Oisín Kelly and the DL Debate.
I think we'll survive without Brendan again.
It's all right.
I don't know why he bothers with the podcast anymore.
Don't upset
him. Getting all these people to cover for him when he's not here or coaching or...
A caller says, lastly, I think Donegal lost a lot of games by not attempting to kick at scoring from the 40-metre line. They always appeared to be struggling to getting closer to goal, whereas other teams took a chance from further out and sometimes succeeded in getting a score. Yeah. I think there were some games that worked very well for Donegal, and then there were some games where it kind of fell to pieces a bit, where they were falling short and wide, and that was in some of the big games as well. So it can be interesting.
Yeah. And in fairness to Donegal, they tried to bring the ball forward, so they did, and try to stop this lateral and back. But when the opposition's playing a certain way, you have to do that. But the good thing about this 3v3, and it's opened up all the space, there's an opportunity for a lot more players to be coming running from deep and running into space. Opportunity for a lot more goals, Greg. And that's why I feel that maybe changing it
just
to
leave
four.
It to three.
Just leave it at three. Yeah. If there is going to be more goals, leave it at three. But do reward your distance kickers.
Okay.
Because that is a very entertaining and top class end of the sport, is to see these guys kicking from over 40 metres out. All right, Ash. Can I just say, use Michael Murphy as an example, right, and these new rules. Michael would have had 2 and 3 defenders hanging off him.
Yes.
Every single time he touched the ball. He's one of the best players we've ever had in this county. And he would have defenders hanging off them because they were so much worried about the threat of Michael Murphy. You put Michael Murphy into these rules now with 1v1s. Like, that's entertainment. Like, that is entertainment. And that's the way the GAA wants to go. They want to make the game better, but they also want to keep supporters embraced in it and in the game. There will be tweaks. There will be changes coming. We wait to see what they will be. Looking forward to hearing what Eamon's going to say tonight and how he.
Well, if you don't stop speaking now, you'll just might as well go straight into the podcast because it's nearly 7. Oisín, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so very much indeed. Really enjoyed that, Osh. Oisín Kelly and the crew after 7 o'clock this evening. Johnny McGuinness of Guinness Bar and Shop in Culdaff. Hi, Johnny.
Good morning.
Right, okay. What happened over the weekend? It's a sickener, this, especially in difficult business trading times as is. What happened at your place over the weekend?
Well, it's nothing that sensational, really. We're sort of accustomed to this type of business. It seems to be the new form of touring that's taking place in Inishowen here. We have multiple bus companies that operate pub crawls, for want of a better description. And for the most part, they go off without any incident whatsoever. But every now and then, there's always at least one bus per weekend that causes some sort of hassle. And we had a bus like that there just on Saturday evening. And to look at them coming off the bus, you wouldn't think there'd be any issue with them. But after they'd been served, then we realized that a number of them had been carrying in their own alcohol, Asti Prosecco, exactly from, I believe it's Lidl, UK. Right. I went over and asked them to kindly remove their bottle of Prosecco and maybe make their way off the premises. But before they did so, they decided to go into the toilets, the ladies' toilets, that is, and they ended up smashing one of the toilet seats. Now, you know, that in itself isn't that expensive to replace, but, you know, I don't see why we should have to put up with that type of behaviour.
What can you do about it, Johnny? Because also as well, too, it's the other clientele in the bar, isn't it? You know, others that it's not the replacement of a toilet lid. It's then the experience for other customers going into that space. It's also how, you know, a group like that coming in with their own booze and up to high dough can change the dynamic. So it's not insignificant either at the same time. So what can you do about it, Johnny?
Well, I mean, I've asked each and all of the bus operators that we know that frequently visit our premises to at least speak to their customers as they're getting off and ask them to be, you know, respectful of the premises they're going to, and obviously if they're walking out of the bus carrying their own drinks, to maybe ask them not to walk in with them. You know, for the most part, normally it goes off without any incident whatsoever. But you know, as I said before, there normally is at least one bus per weekend that causes some kind of ruckus. And we do worry about the ambience and the experience that our normal regular customers, the customers that are staying locally or our regular local customers themselves, when a bus load arrives in on top of them, really and truly the quiet pint goes out the window because you can't hear yourself. So, I mean, it is something that has to be considered and something that has to be looked at. And is it worth going forward with? Because, you know, obviously, if the behaviour can't improve and if people aren't respectful enough to not bring their own drink and not damage property when they're there, then, you know, we'll have to ask the question of ourselves, is this something we can continue with? And we don't want to actually, you know, thwart the efforts of local bus companies, because I'm sure everybody needs any sort of business they can drum up at the moment. And their industry is I would say, under the same pressures that our own industry is under. And you saw from the protest march during the week there, the Vintners Federation, the Restaurants Association, early child care learners and salon staff, among others. There's all sorts of pressures on small to medium enterprise businesses in our county and in the country for that matter. And really and truly, we can't afford to have to take on any other costs from repairing furniture or repairing equipment or broken toilets or anything like that. We're doing our best to survive, and we're doing our best to stay prosperous, and we're doing our best to ensure the future of the employment that we provide here in the locality, which we have 24 members of staff on our books. So it's a tough time at the moment, and I think it's been spoken about by others this week that, you know, the whole tourism sector needs to be looked at in Donegal, especially in Inishowen, and we need to do more to support the businesses that are providing the employment for all of the people that, that work within those businesses, and for the students that come home at the weekends, which we have many here within our own business. So I think the whole thing needs a fresh look, and I think Falchardan needs to up their game. You've done a lot of coverage this week on the lack of facilities in Letterkenny, and we have the same in Inishowen. It's just it's the perfect storm at the moment for this industry.
Yeah, what would you like to see done in Inishowen, Johnny?
Well, I would like to see some of the projects that have been long fingered for going into the second decade now. I'd like to see those projects delivered. I'd like to see footfall increase in a more sort of managed way. Like, I mean, we don't want to turn away our buses. You know, the buses provide very valued custom. But, I mean, people need to be respectful, and we would much prefer to have families and tourists coming and staying here in the area. Dwell time increased. We would much rather see a more constant supply of visitors throughout the year and throughout the shoulders of the season. And, you know, things like restricting the capacity of the airports and things like the no tourist facilities in Letterkenny or Inishowen, unless it's smaller groups that are providing the service themselves. It's just not enough. I think the excise duty that the industry is paying, the auto enrollment is coming down, they're coming down next year, the minimum wage increase, energy costs, recruitment issues, insurance costs. There's so many things, so many downward
That's
pressures.
That's an awful lot of stats in the negative column, isn't it, Johnny? And I think also too, and I do believe there's a couple of industries here in this country, fishing being one, farming another, and hospitality. Yeah. We have a window, and I think the window's closed on the fishing industry. I fear that it's closing on the a window of opportunity, the farming industry, and I hope it's not closing on the hospitality tourism industry. But it does feel like we're in that space again, because...
Well, listen, it's too late to rescue our businesses after they've closed. It's as simple as that. And whilst I welcome any regeneration of any towns, I'd far rather that we preserve the towns and the villages and the businesses that they're in. That they are actually the entities that provide the experience that brings the tourists back. And, you know, there's not much point having a Wild Atlantic Way if there's no businesses open in the little towns and villages along the Wild Atlantic Way. And that's where we're at now. Okay. Something has to be done to rescue those businesses, ourselves included. And if that happens, then we have a fighting chance. If not, we don't, unfortunately.
And just to the where we started, I think a lot of it comes down to respect. I think people, if they're visiting these areas or our area or wherever it might be, to have respect. We're not a playground. We're here to offer services. And there's a respect that needs to be had there. And as you say, you know, if there is a bit of an industry going here with these bus tiers, tourists, I think it's very important that the operators work with the businesses that they're stopping at to ensure that everyone benefits and we don't kill the goose that laid the golden egg. Not that it's quite that significant, but I think what you're saying needs to be taken on board. And Johnny, thank you for that. Johnny McGuinness, owner of McGuinness's Bar and Shop in beautiful Coldaff. That man, Johnny, on air, very well said. Solid points made from the heart. Surely these buses don't arrive without prior notice, and the pub should make arrangements to have access to a particular person whose card can be used as a deposit for breakages, etc. I think they do arrive unannounced, and I don't know how it would go down with a deposit card for breakages and what have you. Is any one individual on that bus, if it's a group of friends or what have you, are they going to... are they going to go down that route? I don't know. So, Greg, Jim McGuinness's fault of the new changes in the GEA to get rid of the defensive games. Time will tell if it will work out or not. Thanks, Greg, and thank you for texting. Is it Jim McGuinness's fault? I'm not quite sure. I suppose you could trace back the defensive stuff to that era. A caller says, during the Troubles, there was the Irish-Palestinian organisation. They supported Ireland throughout the Troubles. Now it is Ireland's turn to support the Palestinians. They are labelled terrorists just like we were. Darren said on Facebook, good morning, Greg. Asks that woman, does she support her government, Hamas, a terrorist organisation, which our people voted unanimously in? Highland giving airtime to terrorist sympathisers again. Just wow. It's different perspectives, Darren. Thanks for your input. Has everyone forgotten that the British and the US collaborated on the setting up of Israel? The British are keeping their heads low now and not getting involved, believes the listener. Hi, Greg. Does that person that slated you there for disgraceful journalism really believe that the horrible attacks from Hamas last October were just carried out for no reason? The Israeli forces control everything in Gaza, the electricity, the water supply, etc., and regularly cut these supplies when they wish over many, many decades of slaughter and killing of innocent Palestinians, people who have nothing to do with Hamas. That person should wise up and do some research. I just can't fathom that we talk about 42,000 innocent people dead. Some of them perhaps weren't innocent, but certainly tens of thousands of innocent women and children. And as if it's just like a just an arguing point to toss around that Israel are bad, Hamas are bad, Israel are good, Hamas is good, whatever. Like, whatever it is, there's tens of thousands of kids being blown to bits and women being blown to bits. And also what happened in Israel too on October 7th and what's happening now in Lebanon, whereby it's OK to kill 200 innocent people, providing you get the one person that you were looking for. And it's all just grand. And it's whether you support Israel or if you support the Palestinians or Hamas, or if you see them as the same. Like, let's not lose our humanity either, shall we? In all of this, all death is wrong, especially when it involves innocent innocent children. Okay, listen, that's where we have to leave it today. Thanks so much for listening to the show this Monday morning. Thanks for watching as well. Nice to see so many of you there in that space. If you're listening to the podcast or if you're listening overnight, feel free to email in your comments and we can pick them up and carry them on the next live show. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a great Monday.